I came from Flemington.
And there was traffic.
No, it
such a bad energy to start with.
Please, I'm so mean. So not. Yesterday was International Women's Day. This is illegal. Yeah, that was, true. Welcome back to the bottom, baby.
It's like a birthday week.
I've also locked you in. You can't get out.
Gonna bully me.
Yeah.
I'll tell you, I do want to start. I want to start because people in the stream don't believe I talk to my dad the way that I talk to my dad.
Oh, so you're going to call your dad?
No, I got a recording of him today and that's how we'll start
the podcast. I was shocked by the way you speak to your dad.
Well, all right, here we go.
Rude.
There it is. Are your headphones good, Frankie?
Yeah, they're great.
Yeah. I'll ring you back later.
How much later?
A couple hours.
Oh, bugger. I wanted to get you now for a thing.
All right, shoot.
Okay, all right. I just want to let you know you've been recorded for the podcast. It's not live or anything else. people don't believe that I talk to you the way I talk to you. Could you recall the conversation we had the other day when I called you about a photo on Facebook in the middle of the night?
Yeah. Oh, look, I can't remember. Like, you reckon I was a bad cunt?
Yeah.
Take a more flattering photo or some shit like that.
I said that you looked swollen and disgusting in the photo on Facebook. And it looked
And then the next couple of days you kept texting me to make sure I joined the gym and started doing something about being a fat cunt.
Because I love you and I want you to be healthy and I want you to live a long time and it looks like you've eaten a fat person.
Oh, come on.
Maybe I should have fucking eaten you when you were a kid.
has the journey progressed? Have you made any steps in bettering yourself and your awful appearance?
No.
No?
So mean.
What did you have for lunch today?
A little bit of grief from you isn't going to fucking change that.
It might. I don't know. I've never tried it before. I'm trying something new. What did you have for breakfast today?
Nothing.
Nothing with a side of gravy. What did you have for lunch?
What's wrong with you?
I actually had leftover fried rice.
Okay. Hey. All right. Yeah. Was it a lean fried rice or was it extra bacon? I'm not joking. That's a real question.
It wasn't a joke.
It was just a regular fried rice.
And what are you going to have for dinner?
It will be a piece of barbecue steak and salad.
That seems fine.
Oh, okay. All right.
Which is like a typical dinner for us.
Yeah, but then how are you going to wash that steak down?
Oh, a couple of beers for sure.
Yeah, a couple of beers.
Sounds like the kindest man.
You know a couple means two, right?
Yeah.
All right. Well, I just wanted to check in, make sure you're still alive because you're obviously a lot closer to death than 50 by the looks of your photos.
Like, you're a rotten son.
Yeah,
would be a reasonably accurate description.
Yeah, but I do it because I care.
Yeah.
All right. Whatever. I'll talk to you later.
All right. Love you, mate.
I love you too.
All right. Bye. Bye-bye.
Bye. Ooh, GMAT. Yay.
Hello and welcome to episode 139 of the GMAT podcast.
I'm funny like I'm a clown. I am usually.
Put on your laughing shoes, fuckheads, because it's time for
jokes from Bruce. I hope they're funny. Ha ha ha. That was pretty punny.
Today's episode of the GMAT Podcast is brought to you by our merch, which is available at teespring.com/stores/GMAT. Go get yourself a GMAT mug, a Ben J mug, an Aiden mug, a Frank. There's nothing for Frankie. There's nothing.
No.
That intro is brought to you by Toey Datsun. Thank you, Toey Datsun, for submitting that.
Spooky.
Scary intro. If you would like to submit an intro, please do so. Send it to contact@therealgmat.tv or submit it in the Discord or send it to me on Facebook. Contact me many ways. I'm a very contactable.
Snail mail. USB.
Exactly. In the. Okay. Hello.
I threw you.
My name is Matthew.
Hi, Matthew.
I am the host of this later than usual podcast. I'm joined on my left by Aiden.
Hi.
In front of me, Benjamin.
Thank you so much.
And guess what?
What?
Here we go. She's a Canberra comedian who frequents the comedy festivals.
Yep.
She's one half of the hilarious comedy duo Sweaty Pits. Who's the other half, Aiden? I hear you ask.
No idea.
Do you not know the answer? Well, I do. It's her best bud in the whole wide world, Miriam Slater.
Oh, Miriam Slater.
Miriam Slater. Together, they rocked the 2018 Melbourne Fringe Festival, being nominated for Best Comedy and winning... The New Zealand... No, they didn't win. But they did win. They did win the New Zealand Tour Ready Award. If you'd like to see her live, you can check out Emma's debutante. Is that right?
Just you
that
did one. It.
At the Comedy Republic, April 8th through 17th, with a couple of dates missing. She also has a great podcast called Worst Gigs with Frankie McNair. Oh, my God, it's Frankie McNair.
Hello.
It's me. I did it.
Welcome. Right, I can put that away now and stop this.
That was so long.
Read my one. Read my thing.
Yeah, my bio's there too.
Ben J's here.
I remember that being longer. When I wrote it out, it was longer in my head.
Okay, you full named yourself.
Said Benjamin J.
That's right.
Yes.
Hi, Frankie. Award viewing.
Hello, thank you for having me. I'm sorry I was so late.
What?
I mean, technically you're a day early, so it's no big deal.
Okay, well, okay. Look, I did fuck it. I cooked it. I'm not well.
I'm just not well.
When did you... leave, and when did you think traffic didn't exist at 5:30 in Melbourne?
Well, I left.
This is so mean. Thanks for coming. Thank you for being here.
Yeah, well, I'm very excited.
I'm excited. Mm. Aiden's been very excited to see you because
really,
no, mostly because I've been in your fucking podcast and I've known you longer than Matt. I thought we were better friends, but Matt's been on the podcast.
You know what it is, Aiden? You've never had a bad gig.
Oh no, I have. I have had a terrible gig, and it was because Frankie wasn't there.
Oh, I thought. Oh, I heard about that one. Actually,
the one in the tent.
Yeah, I heard about your tent gig.
Yeah.
Can we talk about the tent gig? But since Frankie's here,
and
since Frankie hosts a podcast called Worst Gigs, Frankie, do you want to tell us a story about a worst gig?
Yeah.
Do you have any in mind off the top of your dome?
Oh, I do. I had a worst gig, like 2 weeks ago. I think it was like one of my worst ones I've ever done.
Really?
Because.
That's a real bad sign as a comedian when you can be like, it was about 2 weeks ago.
It was about 2 weeks ago. I've been doing it for 3.5 years. 2 weeks, baby. It doesn't get better. It was like 2 weeks ago and I was like, I haven't written anything new in like such a long time. And on my way there, I was like, thought of something that is not funny at all. But right. I convinced myself because I was by myself. I was like, this is so funny.
Yeah. Is this a solo gig or a Sweaty Pits gig?
No, it's a stand-up gig. Yeah, this was just me. And so I opened. It was like a crowd of like, there was like maybe like 10 people there. And it was really intimate space. Right. And in that space, people are like quite afraid to laugh because they're just like, you can see me. And so I got up and I was also really nervous because my ex was in the crowd. Oh. And I was like, I don't want to bomb in front of my ex. That's going to be yucky. I did. I did it. And I just opened with the dumbest thing I could think of, like no context. And I was like, hey, how's everyone going tonight? Just got on stage, grabbed the microphone and went, The Last Supper, it was just bread and wine. They should have called it The Last Entree. And then started clapping myself and no one joined
very
in.
Very funny.
That's a good joke.
I like that. Write it down that. Instantly.
And I started
The Last Supper.
And I started clapping myself and like pumping my fists in the air like a hero. And it was just the most silence I've ever heard. And I went, audibly went, and it just threw me for the rest of the show.
Shit.
And I just, ran off. I think I had 5 minutes. I think it was 4 minutes and just ran off stage and was just like, do I quit comedy now?
Look at yourself in the mirror, like taking your makeup off automatically.
Wiping my lipstick
That's
across
it
my face.
For the clown, let's try something new.
The problem with worst gigs, though, is for the podcast to be successful, you have to keep getting worse as a comedian. Otherwise, you just have to end it.
And I pride myself on that. I like to.
Or just keep getting worse and worse guests.
Exactly.
You know, I was on there pretty recently.
And what was your worst gig?
I had a few good ones. I had a bunch. I think I'll skim, because you can go and listen to it.
Obviously, and I will.
I'll skim through the... The one that I said to Frankie that I remember was when I was in primary school and I was like, I'm going to be a comedian. I'm going to do this. And I went up on stage for a talent contest, which was singing and dancing and everything. And then I'm going to do some comedy. And my friend Dylan, the one who vomited in my mouth, remember that from last week?
Yes, I do.
That's a whole different.
That's more our speed.
He introduced me after the teacher had introduced me. So the teacher comes up and goes, and here to do some comedy, Matthew. And then he goes, ladies and gentlemen, here to do some comedy, Matthew. And then I come out and everyone's already applauded me the first time. So like, okay. And then I did Frankie. No, not Frankie. You're Frankie.
Hello.
I did Frankie.
I did.
Lovely to be here.
I did Danny Boy's 2006 gala bit.
Oh, wow.
Word for word.
Wow.
And got into it. It was one of those comedy of three jokes where there was a bat and a bat and then the joke.
Yeah.
But I got in and the first initial bit I did didn't land, so I just skipped to the punchline without the bat and then went off stage. And that's when my comedy career peaked, I think. And it went downhill from there. What about you? You had one. Straight off. I want to hear about the tent.
Oh, the tent. Well, you filled in. We did, Frankie and I did Hansel and Gretel. And Frankie played the evil witch / my mother.
And I would like to say throughout that entire thing, we did that show 22 times. 4 of those times I got every word right in the song. Yeah. I was off beat or I just forgot the lyrics.
That's for true.
like 19 of those shows.
I don't want to undermine a great story, but I thought you were awesome. Awesome,
yeah. I really thought you were awesome, yeah.
Oh, I thought I was so bad. I'm like, well, never doing that again.
Yeah, but no, it was good. You did quite well.
I remember the scene. I watched it. I was in the audience with the kids and watched you guys do it, and you had that song where you were fucking around with the cauldron.
Sitting cross-legged.
Yeah. I imagine
they're like,
whoa.
No, I tried to get really hard.
I wanted to get as far back in the shadows as I could so that he didn't do anything with me. He didn't come into the audience and use me for a gag or something. I wanted to be as far away as I could. You were doing the song with the cauldron and I was like, this is high quality theater.
Yeah.
This is better than
the cauldron was a bin.
Was it?
It was a bin.
The high quality theater was a bin.
But it had lights and smoke and shit coming out of it.
Yeah, it was an LED light and a smoke machine in there. Yeah, you're right. It was cool.
It was
and that flappy bit of material. Or flappy flame bit. You know, the
flappy flame.
Yeah, obviously.
It looks like the wacky inflatable arm man, but it's a flame.
Exactly.
Yeah, the flappy flame.
You were the first hint that I was going to enjoy the show because it had jokes for adults when Blake comes out and does his little doopa 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 song, whatever it is.
Yeah.
And then you come out and you're like, can you fucking keep it down? I just woke up or something. I mean, you say fucking. You said something like that.
It was in the tone.
Like, I was like, that's funny.
That's for me.
That's funny. I like that. I like that energy. Keep that up.
He's actually in the tone of fucking, but you didn't say fucking.
Shut up, you fucking stupid.
Anyhow, so we're doing that.
Yes.
And the cast was great. And then afterwards, maybe a month, maybe more than a month, the guy that ran it, Blake, said, hey, I've booked us to do this show twice at a festival in Brunswick. And I was like, oh, no. I don't want to do that. And he's like, well, you're playing Hansel in Hansel and Gretel. So unless you find someone and teach them, you're doing it. And I was like, hey, man, would you like it? He's like, absolutely not. So I have to fucking go. But Frankie was in Canberra.
No, I wasn't in Canberra. I was in America.
Oh, that's a little further.
Yeah.
So Frankie bailed.
To America.
I went, no, so no, I can't.
And we had another person step in. Hoomst. We all know.
Yes.
And they tried and definitely didn't learn it. And then we went and this festival was on an oval, a football oval, with football posts on either side. And then just random tents. And we got there at 10 o'clock in the morning because that's when we were supposed to go and it hadn't been set up yet and we were supposed to do a show at 11 and a show at 1, but we ended up doing a show at 1 and a show at 7.
Oh!
Yep. And both times we had 6 children in the show, the same 6 children in this very big tent. Nobody could hear the music. The person that played Frankie's character is Frankie played the witch in Act 2 that's supposed to capture the freaking Hansel and Gretel. And I'm trying to do the scenes with this person that doesn't know the lyrics or the lines. So she's just skipping massive chunks of the show. Oh, so I'm desperately trying to like run behind her whenever it's happening. And at one point I looked at her and I was like, get off the stage. Because she was singing, and then she stopped singing halfway through the song, and then, I'm a witch, but I don't have to sing if I don't want to. And I was like, hey, leave. And she did. And then I got up and I was like, oh no, I'm Hansel. You know, that was the worst.
Oh my
Plus,
God.
I got paid $50.
Oh no. It's a long show as well. Mm. Did you do the whole thing?
Twice.
It has two acts.
Yeah.
You said, yeah. You were saying in the last episode you did with Miriam on West Gigs, you said something that really resonated with me, which was the you don't, when you start doing stuff or when you're doing anything creative, or not even when you start, when you're just doing creative stuff, you don't know what to charge.
You have
people.
No idea.
No clue.
No idea. Yeah. The only way that you find out what you're like, I've been taken for so many rides. I remember the one time I got paid properly, like industry award like rates. And I was like, what is really? This? Like, that's so kind of you. They're like, this is legal. And I was like, what? Yeah. That's crazy. Yeah, the only way you know is if you ask other people like, hey, how much do you charge for like, you know, like a 10-minute set or whatever? And it is awful to hear how much money you have not made.
Yeah, yeah, that would be horrifying.
When we were doing the plays that we did back in
the plays,
when, you know what we all have in common?
Yeah.
All four of us have in common. We've all lived through the horrors of Fringe Festival. How was everybody?
Yay.
We did it.
We had no fucking clue what to charge. We had no clue what to charge when we first did it, when it wasn't in the Fringe Festival. And then when we did it in the Fringe Festival, like, we meant to bring it down.
I feel like it was like a $20 ticket. That sounds
Yeah, but
fair
like,
to
we're
me.
Like, are we worth $20 or are we a $10 ticket?
Nah, Deus was a $20 ticket.
Oh, thank you.
But it was.
It's still, it's, too kind. It's
probably
hard.
Am. I'm about $20 too kind if I don't mind.
Very mean.
No, I'm kidding. I enjoyed it.
Yeah, no, it's, yeah. No, I got no idea what to charge. And when I started editing as well, and I asked you, and I said, can you ask Steve what he would get paid? And he's like, I don't know. So then I like feel
Do
like-
Do you highball it? I feel like you should highball.
I highballed it, but then the work wasn't worth what I was doing. And then when they asked me to do something else, that to them is the exact same job, but would do a lot more, I couldn't then ask for higher. So I sort of like got a good deal and then got a bad deal. Yeah.
That's how it is.
Yeah, but at least I didn't have to do a baby shower in character.
Yeah, I did that.
Really? Can you elaborate on that? Because that story did not go nearly as long as I needed it to.
Oh, okay. So my Mim and I, our comedy duo Sweaty Pits, we used to have these characters that we would do, and they were called MILF Camp, and there were these like two 80s aerobic mums.
Right.
Which got you in trouble?
Yeah, a couple of people were like, you shouldn't play mums because you're not mums. And we're like, yeah, fair cop. Cool. That's fine. That's go cool. So our friend was like, oh, I'm having a baby shower at my place. Do you want to host the baby shower, but as MILF Camp? And we were like, absolutely, because we've been doing this for a couple of months and a gig's a gig, baby.
Yep.
And it was at 11 a.m.
prime comedy time.
Yeah. And most people were pregnant, so there was no drinking. And we got there and just dumped like 20 things of baby food on the coffee table. And we were in character and we're like, and we've never hosted a baby shower before.
Yeah, I've barely been host to a baby one. Shower?
When did you start being in character?
Oh, we started being on character when we left because we walked there and we used to have this rule that like if you were in the costume, you had to be in character.
That's fucking... Oh, that's exhausting.
We were so tired. We got because we walked there and it was summer. And so we walked in like these like aerobic leotards with these prams and we were just sweating and in character. Oh. And we like got there and we were like, all right, we've got 2 hours to have fun. And it was
Is that
horrific.
The character?
Yeah, no, she does sound a bit like this.
Okay.
She's very Kath from Kath and Kim. Okay. But yeah, and we're like, what are baby shower games? And so we just got there and these women who didn't know what was going on because our friend is like really arty and the rest of them are just like,
oh no,
normal? They're very normal?
Normies.
And yeah, and so there's I'm like so these people in like 80s like giant makeup who just dump baby food on the table and go, cover your eyes and we're going to feed you baby food. And guess, and you have to guess what flavor it is. And they were like, no. And we were like, please, it's all we have. And then.
This is supposed to go for 2 hours.
And then like, we didn't have prizes for them. Like they guessed it and we were like, hooray. Anyway.
next game.
and then we were like, all right, well, now we're going to do our sketch. And so it was like six women on like a couch that was so close to us.
Oh, God.
It was so, like, I could have, like, I had to not do my dance moves as high because I would have kicked them. And so then, and it
slow down. Do my dance slow down. Moves as high.
Dance moves. Was there music? Household. Was there a dance?
Yeah, there was a dance.
This is wonderful. Is it a good
Matt? It was a baby shower. Why did you?
Yeah, there's gonna be a choreography. Dance.
Is it a good bit on stage?
It's great.
Like, okay, it's a good
great.
Bit.
Yeah, yeah. It's a great bit on stage. And does the whole commentary on how hard it is to be a mother today, and with a awkward strip routine to Mamma Mia. Yes, it does.
Yeah.
Did we do that in front of these six women?
Was there a grandmother there?
Yes. She was. She fucking loved it.
Oh, good. All right,
she was having the time of her life. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, we're just throwing sweatbands at them. They're getting leotards chucked to their face. And then it ended and we had nowhere to go. So we're just standing there in gold booty shorts and nipple tassels. And just like, I'm like, well, have a lovely day. And then we got changed in their bathroom and left.
That really is a fucking horrendous story.
I truly don't think it's that bad.
No.
Is it bad?
That's made my butthole was puckered the whole time.
Were you guys really? Like in the bathroom getting changed going, we nailed it.
I think, well, we had a lot of fun.
No, it sounds.
If you had fun, then fine. But if you were like feeling like sweating bullets the whole time, that's what I imagined you were like grimacing.
No, well, when we got there and then she was like, oh, I should probably move the coffee table so you can like dance. We were like, oh, it's a bit tired, isn't it?
did the people enjoy it or were they?
Yeah, like they were okay, very normal. Like they were like very normal. It's like during they all kind of like didn't know where to look because they were just like, do we look at you? You're so close. I'm going to look at the floor.
Yeah.
But then afterwards they were just like, that was great. That was really nice.
Thank you so much for that, Frankie. That was
very good.
Entertaining.
Have you been, are you Frankie now?
You're stealing character. Yeah, okay,
very
this
good.
Is fun.
Very good.
You should pursue that. It's you quite should, good. You I think you should pursue it.
Have you been doing it for long? No, you're stealing character again.
Can you see the nipple tassels? I'm still in character.
I'm still in character. I'm still shaking him. Please stop.
Jesus Christ.
Oh, my God.
That's horrifying.
Was that the story you wanted?
That's exactly what I wanted. Yeah. That sounds like an audition. But that's like
it does sound a bit audition-y.
The casting couch is just six women who don't know what's happening.
Yeah.
Remember the audition we did for Telstra?
You know, when you were starting to talk about the worst gigs thing, I was like, what is my worst gig? And I can't remember any of them, but I know that I've done them because I have that shame. I think it's all PTSD and I've just gotten rid of it from the hard drive because I know the feeling of standing up there and before I've even said anything, reading the room, be like, I know this isn't going to go down well, but I can't just stand here. So here goes.
Yep.
But I don't have a situation that feeling goes on to.
What about the.
Frankie.
No, please continue.
No, that's pretty much me.
No, I just had a flashback.
Take us there.
I'm in the same place.
No, I don't want to.
You don't want to live.
Oh, you said audition, and I was like, yeah, and then it all just came flooding back, and I was like, no. I auditioned when I was in Canberra to be in Chicago, the stage play.
Okay.
And I did the audition in the morning, and the first thing I did was the singing and like the monologue, and like I did that. And
is this for like the pro, the one that went up?
Yeah, we had a
recently. Or is this like an amateur one or a professional one?
It's like amateur professional. It's okay. like philharmonic like thing.
Okay, yeah,
yeah. And then I had like those two in the morning and like I did that and the director was like, brilliant, come back like this afternoon for a callback. And
brilliant.
I was like, oh, yes. Amazing.
Thank you.
And then, but we hadn't yet done the dancing bit.
Oh, yeah.
And I saw him go, I shouldn't have offered her that yet.
Oh, no.
Because I don't know how to dance very well at all. And they were like, okay, if you're going for like a character, you have to do the advanced dancing. And I was like, oh, I fucked up here.
Mm.
And there was floor work.
Oh, like corner work?
It was like, there was just
like
a
carpentry?
Lot of-
What do you mean?
It was like being on the floor. You had to dance and then you had to be on the floor and do some dancing on the floor.
Oh, like sausage rolling and shit.
Yeah, like just roll around sensually. Yeah.
Corner work's worse is when they line you up in the corner and they go, okay, from now, from this corner to that corner, each person has a turn. You've just got to do something fun, sort of, you know, fun, light. Just go with the music and go. And then all of us, one by one, a fucking dance move from one side of the corner to the other. And it is terrible. You have to, and if you're in that situation, you have to get behind the fattest person there. And because if you're after that person... Unless they've got some real Chris Farley genes.
Is that why people keep lining up behind me in these fucking auditions?
Yeah, but you smoke them all. That's the problem. You get at them like, fuck, he's got the Farleys.
They always say, all right.
He's got the Farleys.
Do sexy. And I'm like, no.
Nah.
No.
Well, just end the song and the dance sort of in the character you'd like to play. I was doing a Shrek audition and I had auditioned to play Lord Farquaad and it was like, all right, now we're doing this song to a song from Waitress and you're ending up on your thing and then just end up like who you'd want to be. And I'm like, I'm going to have to drop to my fucking knees. So it's like, da, 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 kickball change and up to down, ow, my knees.
Was it like make it up floor work or choreographed?
It was choreographed, which is worse. Make it up, I could have made it up, but choreographed, I was just like, oh no. Surrounded by stunning, beautiful women, all blonde and beautiful. And then I'm like, hello. And we did it and I laughed the whole time because I was like, well, I'm going to give it a go. And it started and I went, nah. And then like at one point I was on the floor and I was just kind of like looked up and then made eye contact with the director and burst out laughing. And then at the end I stood up and like did the jazz hands and like the heaving chest. I'm like, like you've just done the performance of a lifetime and I did not get it.
I see you on the floor going, can I audition for Amos instead?
Yeah. That's like you walk into an audition room and you realize that everyone else is wearing something else and they're all similarly dressed. Like if you walk into a dance audition and everyone's in the proper shoes and the boys are in black shorts and a black thing and the girls are in leotard. If there's a girl in leotard and stockings, I'm in the wrong fucking room. I'm in the wrong room.
I don't have a dance call outfit.
Me either.
That's my problem.
And that's
I go in like this.
Oh no, I've got shorts and a t-shirt.
I don't like wearing shorts.
Yeah, but like there's some people that are like, I'm here at my dance call. And you're like, oh no.
What's your shirt?
It's just a black t-shirt. I just wear black shorts and a black t-shirt. Slimming.
Most of the time, I would argue, and stop me if I'm incorrect. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Most of the time you and I go into an audition, the dance call is just...
Because people can see you there.
Because you have to.
Yes, We're not going for dancing parts. Rest of the cast like you in the dance hall.
Yeah, I'm like, well, I'm playing the guy in the wheelchair. What do you want from
me? Yeah, I'm playing the beast. Leave me alone.
What was your Telstra audition? I interrupted with my repressed memory.
I have really like Vietnam style flashbacks, but he knows the story word for word.
I don't even know this story.
You've told me the story back and I still block it out.
It's going to be broken up because it was so long ago and it was such a brief part of our life where I can't remember how I found out about the audition.
I thought I'd be someone good to collaborate with in a performative sense.
Well, we were doing shows together. He was directing and writing shows and I was in them but I knew he can act because we did cold reads and all that sort of stuff. And I was like, hey, do you want to do this thing? Cause we have a good back and forth. And the audition was like, somebody's trying to present what the new Telstra deal is or what the new something is. And the other person comes in as a goofball and kind of messes it up.
Right.
And we went to the audition,
How did we decide who was going to play which role?
That happened on where we were in there. So we went in there and it was a camera and I think two guys and they gave us a script and they said, all right, so you read the lines, you deliver it like here's what the product is. And then the other person just ad lib, just try and throw them off. And I was like, I'll read the lines. Because I hate improv so goddamn much.
You hate it when you really call it improv.
Yeah,
you're good at it until someone says, that was good improv.
You're like, you know you're improv right now. Whoa, what?
Whoa.
The floor's shaking.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I did it and you tried to interrupt me. You did a far better job than I did when we switched over and I didn't know what to do. So when Ben was reading the like, and for three, for $9.99 a month, you can blah, blah, blah. And I was like, hey.
No.
Just like kept walking up to like the side of his face and going, hey.
Oh, it's like a child playing bus stop.
In my mind, I was like, oh, that's a good bit. If I didn't do it for the full 3 minutes, if I just did, if I like did some other stuff and then eventually like gave up and went, hey, I don't know, like in there somewhere, but I had no idea what to do. It was fucking mortifying.
That's horrifying.
And then we walked out. And by the way, before we went in, they were laughing at the two guys before us.
Oh no, you go home.
I don't think we got a single laugh through the entire thing.
See, yeah. I feel like that probably would have brought me more joy.
Having no laughs.
Yeah, no, you. I remember you thoroughly enjoying how bad it went.
Yeah. That does sound like you.
And me just going, I'm so sorry I made you drive all the way out here.
It's auditions. Like, auditions are the worst ones.
Improv stuff is.
Improv is.
I auditioned for a commercial. I couldn't tell you what the commercial was. And it was, it was about accepting gay people. That was what the commercial was going to be about. And I got there and the woman said, here's a glass of wine. Just look at the camera and pretend like the camera's your sister. And she's just told you she's gay. Go.
Oh, fuck that.
I love that so much.
And I was like, oh, cool. Like, I don't give a fuck. Oh, well, you think I care? Why would I care?
Why did they
And she was like,
wine?
No, don't. I don't want you to say anything. So I was like, she was like, I just want you to show me with your face that your sister has rocked up to the barbecue with a girl. In your face. Don't say anything. Go. I was like, the fuck are you supposed to do that? Didn't get it.
No. So. Clearly when you went.
Yeah. When your eyebrows came off your head.
Yeah.
That was all very visual gags, I realised.
Yeah, video podcast.
I remember
on its way.
I had a bad one. When okay. I had to, I don't know whether this will be as entertaining for you, Frankie, because you don't really know me well, but for you two, me playing a rendition.
Frankie, you just want to sit out for a second.
Yeah,
just,
it's okay.
Can you pop your headphones off for us?
What, is this a podcast with three men? Cool.
Never
just
seen
because
that
you
one.
Have no idea of who I am at all. me singing a rendition of Creep by Radiohead on a ukulele down the barrel of a camera.
Oh, I want the footage.
And
I
they
want
didn't
the footage
stop
instantly.
Me. They made me do the whole song. And there was like a whole bunch of people standing behind me. And one of them was Rusty from the Scared Weird Little Guys, if anyone remembers them. They were a thing for a while.
God. What was it for? Who made you do that?
It was for, I don't know if you've heard of them, but Coles.
Oh, no.
Didn't you get the part?
I got a part.
You were in that ad, yeah.
Well, I wasn't in the ad.
Oh, who was in the ad that I
money.
Know? Oh, Broden
Probably,
Kelly.
No, that was he was the one before.
Yeah, what were you at? You were in an ad.
It was some other one. I don't know. But what? I showed up for a day of filming and they cut me out and still paid me, which was exactly how
that's.
That,
I did a Specsavers ad and I got paid the whole thing and never
it's
went
perfect.
Anywhere.
That's great.
Pretty good.
Yeah.
Picked up an old lady on a date.
What?
Yeah,
in the commercial.
I thought you meant like on set. And I was like, good for you.
Get after it.
Should have gone to Specsavers because I picked up an old lady.
Okay, that's
right,
rude.
Because old women are ugly.
Disgusting and gross and
hard
should
to
be
look
discarded.
At. It's easier. So we need glasses to make it. Yeah.
Make ourselves available to see
exactly
who I should avoid.
How hideous people are.
Yeah, I've also done several, and when I say several, at least 5 flash mobs. Never go well.
I would argue that's too many flash mobs.
You don't have to argue it. I agree.
Recently or like
No, it was like the drama club's doing a flash mob at Mass.
Any floor work?
No, but it was really bad. I was at Mass and we all chose a character to be and I couldn't think of a character, so my teacher said, why don't you just play an old Italian man? So I did. And we were at Mass and every time she hit her tambourine, of course, we all turned into characters. And
so
I was like,
fucking bad.
I don't know how to get into the mess. You know what I mean?
Aiden in the back, could you please
and everyone
stop
else is
playing
like, our father
over and over and over again?
We are in heaven. Hello. It's where we were.
Down the river.
I don't know.
What is the point of the flash mob? The best result you're going to get is people like, yeah, so my tram was delayed today.
Yeah, it's never good. It's never good. Especially with like 13-year-old boys.
Yeah.
It was
yeah.
really good.
That's a flash inconvenience.
I got introduced to on YouTube, is there are just so many proposals via flash mob.
No.
It is so good because it's always like good and like it's horrendous. Yep. Like you're like, say no, this was bad. You deserve better than this. And it's always some guy who's organized like the local like dance school. So it's always like 12-year-old girls doing this flash mob and then a grown man dancing with them. And it's so bad.
And has he put any effort into learn the dance?
He's having the best time of his life. Okay. Like, this is his day. Oh. Like, he's getting into it. And
I don't think a flash mob is necessary for anything at all.
And you're suddenly targeted as well. It's like you're just enjoying your day and then suddenly you have 30 people dancing.
Yeah, everyone's looking at you like, look, and you're like, I'm having a stroke.
And you're like, you don't know the dance. You can't join in. If you try, it's rude. And they say, can you please sit down, Frankie? It's not your turn. And it's awful.
We said an old Italian man, not Borat.
Please sit down.
Hey, Frankie.
Hi.
Speaking of three men talking at you, yeah. Can we talk at you for a second?
Please.
We have this bit on the podcast.
Okay.
It's a bit that started with Bruce.
Yeah.
You weirdly know.
Yeah, you do know him.
I do know.
That was such a strange moment.
Bizarre moment.
You two didn't handle it well.
No.
It turns out I know one of their friends through another friend and they freaked out.
it wasn't a fan.
But what are the chances?
You're far closer than I need you to be. That's it. I thought I had so many more people that I could get rid of and moat you out.
No. I'm in, baby.
Oh, God.
So in lockdown, Bruce started...
I also know Bruce, by the way. No one seems to give a fuck.
Hey, we've got an opening on the podcast. You want
to... I don't see anyone sitting in that chair.
Oh, what is that, the wind? Hey-o.
That's a throwback. In lockdown, Bruce started writing jokes.
Great.
And they were good. They were like...
Yeah, pretty good.
They're like anti-joke. They're right up our alley. And we love them. They're very Norm Macdonald. And so I read them out on the podcast once. And people loved it. So then... We keep getting him to write jokes and then we read them out on the podcast. But then last week, we gave him a real hard time because they weren't up to the standard they're supposed to be at.
Okay.
And so now we've been challenged to try and write jokes and we're going to pitch them to a working comedian.
Oh, dear.
As our punishment for last week.
Yeah.
And see it's how that goes
good.
Down.
It's not good.
I'm a very easy laugh, so it's okay.
I like that a lot.
So now if I don't laugh, it's worse, isn't it? I'm so sorry.
Oh, Frankie, my God. Frankie,
it's a real trap door set up.
Can the two of you just cover your ears for a second? Frankie?
Yeah.
I need you to laugh.
I might not be
able to. No. I need you to laugh at the joke. Because I spent about 30 minutes trying to write a joke and it didn't work.
Is it like...
at all.
Is it a one-liner?
No.
Okay.
No, it's several.
Okay.
Is Frankie?
Only one of them needs to be funny, though.
I'm actually so nervous.
Should Frankie pick a favorite?
I think we go by applause.
By applause.
Yeah.
By one person.
I think that was louder.
Thank you to everybody who came to this podcast to hear Frankie. We're going to talk for 10 minutes. All right. Who wants to go first?
I'm so excited.
Ben,
you've got your notepad.
No, I don't.
All right, you give us a level, Aiden.
I can't go first.
You set the base time.
Okay.
Woo! Remember, two Fringe nominations.
Yeah.
One award. One win. Went to New Zealand.
I mean, it's one not win. That good. Anyway, thank you. Anyway,
I mean,
on.
We didn't win any fucking awards. Robbed.
Were we nominated?
That was the nominated.
We weren't even considered.
All right. I'm actually nervous.
Don't be nervous.
I am.
You made me nervous.
Here we go.
Look at you.
I have... Here we go. Okay. I have recently started to write jokes.
Don't look at me.
So meta.
The problem is, every time I start, the people around me give me weird looks, as if to say, Aiden, why are you holding a pen in your foreskin? What do you think? What do you think of that one?
It's got something. It's
definitely
got
something there.
I see the building blocks.
Thank you. That's all I wanted.
No. That's perfect. That's good.
Yeah, thank you. It's so Seinfeldian. It's so economical. It's really just sharp as a little turn in there.
It has a message, and that's what I like.
And the message is...
It's about something.
Don't
put pens in your foreskin.
Or people will look at you weird.
No,
I think that's odd.
See, this is why it's so deep, because you can now have a discussion about it. I think the message is don't judge people... who have pens in their cocks.
And like also that creativity comes out in different ways.
Yeah.
And it's so important.
I want to tell you.
It takes all sorts.
I wrote that joke there and there and there.
Which version did we get?
You got the last version.
Oh, okay.
Can I hear the first version?
No.
Please?
Can we hear the first version?
I have a pen in my cock.
No, because the first version was, it's the same joke. I have recently started to write jokes. The problem is every time I start, the people on the bus, and then I thought, where the bus come from? And then start to give me weird looks, as if to say, holding a pen in your foreskin is weird. That was the first rendition.
I like the process. I like to see what you, you know.
I've got so many other jokes, but that's my joke that I've submitted for judgment. And now I'm about 30 degrees hotter. That's so hot.
That was a competition joke. That one's ready for consumption.
Yep.
That was great.
Yep.
What do you reckon, man?
Well, why don't I go now and then you can take us home.
Have you not even got yours written down? Jesus
Christ. He's a professional.
No, because then if I fuck it up, it's not my fault. It's like, oh, well, I didn't write it down. But if it works, I'm a genius.
All right, here we go.
All right, sign out here. Please deliver it to Frankie. Let's treat this like it's serious.
Frankie laughed quite loud.
I'm just going to do sort of like a general delivery to the room.
Okay, all right. He's nervous.
So, you know, I'm a man of a certain age now.
Yes.
Yeah, thinking about having children, obviously. But that's a massive commitment, you know. And they're not cheap. You know, in 2021, the average child costs over $700 to abort.
Oh, my God.
I mean, it doesn't sound like much, but it adds up.
Oh, my God.
Jesus. So much darker than mine.
Mine's about foreskins on a bus. That's all right. Okay.
No, your version didn't have the bus.
No, that's true. I'm so just sorry. Take the bus out of the judgment.
Yeah, no. I have taken the bus out. Okay, the bus held it back.
Yeah.
So
that was a good joke.
That was very jokey. Like, I can imagine being at like a very dark open mic and someone saying that. That was a joke.
I ain't got laughs.
That was the aim. So yours
was a joke, but mine was funny.
Yeah.
All right.
But I also have a cook sense of humor. Like, need us, like, remind us of like the entree joke. That's
a great joke.
That was so dark.
Such a good joke. The Last Supper joke.
Thank you.
I should have just used that one instead of my foreskin. That would have killed. Oh.
All right.
Matt's been very confident about this.
He said
it twice. He thinks it's very good.
Today, when you messaged, said you got to write a joke. I went, oh, shit, I haven't done it. And then I did this in about 5 minutes and I was so
happy. All right, like Picasso. Dylan writing Blowing in the Wind. Here we go.
Here we go. Mayor Penis. Of
Already.
Such a weak start. All right. Mayor Penis of the small town of Dixmell has been aggressively battling a small group of protesters in the Fuckington Shire. The group, led by Cum Willington III, opposes the mayor's choice of staff, which includes his city manager, Jism Cockforth, the city attorney, Cockbitch Beckins, and the finance director, Willie Smith. That's a stupid name.
Willie Smith's a stupid name. I like that. Frankie's gone. She's gone. I like it.
I should have delivered that to you, Frankie.
And, no, don't do it again.
And finance director Willie Smith. That's a stupid name.
Stupid name. Who writes that?
All right. Who wrote these jokes?
Some guy.
Dirty. That's pretty good.
Thank you.
That was like an erotic fan fiction.
Oh, yeah?
That was that was like a...
A fan of what, though?
Of just being horny, I guess. But I... Props to you for not doing a penis joke.
Oh, I was so tempted.
I know. It's where the mind wants to go.
I know. The first 47 jokes I came up with,
all peen.
Pretty much in that realm.
And that's fine. And that's valid. I think everyone did a great job. That was a silly
I
name.
I think mine was less of a penis joke and more of a political
statement. A political statement. I'm so sorry. Yeah.
Mine was just a penis joke.
And it was so funny.
Yeah. Who won?
Aiden, you won.
Unfucking believable.
I can't believe it. Everyone did so well.
Let's we remember some like fanfare music with trumpets now. I'm the winner. Ba 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 ba.
Frankie's known Aiden the longest. Fuck this whole thing.
No,
shut it down.
Everyone's funny. Everyone come open mic. We'll all do comedy together.
We'll all just get up as a three act. We'll be like Auntie
Donna.
We'll say
at the same time. We'll say all of our jokes at the same time.
It's like a drama show at uni where everyone's just screaming the lines at the same time as the audience.
Were you in the class with me when that guy got his dick out right next to my head?
No, no. But I've heard the stories.
Yeah. Have I ever told you that story?
Is that class or court?
Class.
Class.
We were doing like a postmodern something. Maybe it was Sarah Kane. And then they were like, you get on the floor and you just be like the baby. And I sat on the floor and I was like, oh. And then I look up. Everyone screamed. And I looked up and then there's a guy dick like right next to my shoulder.
Why are you checking the time? What you
I know.
Say
I got
that?
A phone call.
Reminded him of an appointment he's got later.
I had two other jokes that I couldn't figure out if
I
should say.
I would love to hear them.
Okay. Here's one.
Mm-hmm.
What's the difference between a Bruce joke and a pile of shit?
This is a payback joke, I know it.
No, really. Tell me, what's the difference between a Bruce joke?
Yeah,
I know the exact joke that is a clapback for. Which one? The one about the, what is it?
Oh, you which, know one, what one, which is, one?
Who
the which fuck one, is
yeah. Who's, yeah. Who's funnier? Yeah. G-Matt? No, who's no, funnier between Ben
Jay? What's the difference between Ben Jay and Aiden? Yeah. Who the fuck is Aiden? That's the joke. I had another answer to that. What's the difference between a Bruce joke and a pile of shit? Nothing. Matt struggles to get them both out.
That's way
good.
Better.
That's pretty good.
That one. That's a proper good. Joke.
And
that's,
then there's like another that I wrote, and I wrote it like this.
Oh, give it in confidence. Now he's unstoppable.
But that's a joke at Matt's expense, not
yeah,
Bruce's.
Oh yeah. I have recently started writing jokes. But it's not going well. I keep unintentionally ending them before they...
That's the best joke. That's the best one you've done. I love that so much.
That is something that you would read on the toilet, though.
That's why I didn't say it, because I called my sister and I was like, out of these three, which one should I say on the podcast? She was like, that one says foreskin. That should be on the podcast. And so I used it.
And it was so good. She knows your brand.
You know your audience.
Oh, I'm so glad. I thought they were terrible jokes.
I think everyone did great.
Oh, my God. Everyone did really well. Jerry Seinfeld's a billionaire. I'm coming for you, Seinfeld.
King of foreskin jokes, so Jerry Seinfeld.
Exclusively doing foreskin material.
There's only next one Fringe foreskin Festival. Joke. The other one was pretty funny.
Oh, I like that one more than the foreskin one.
No. I know, you're just salty because I won.
I am. I'm pretty fucking pissed off.
I'm so sorry.
You know what, Frank?
Do you have a backup joke, Matt?
No,
yeah, that was it. That was all. You put all
that's
his faith
all
in
I had
one.
Today. I did it and I was like.
Used up all your funny names.
Gold.
Yeah.
Gold.
It was pretty funny.
Gold. Absolute gold. Can we talk about Fringe for a second?
Yeah.
Frankie. Yeah. What is your, because you're much better, clearly, at Fringe and the whole idea of Fringe than any of us. Because I've done a show with him and with him.
That's great.
What's your experience with Fringe? Is it like.
Do you like it?
Do you like it?
It is a chaotic time. Do you mean like any Fringe in particular or like them all?
Melbourne
let's,
Fringe.
Yeah, let's go with Melbourne Fringe because that's the one we know. Yeah, cool.
Okay.
Oh, we're on the same
is
page.
Is it better than Canberra?
Ooh. Does Canberra even have
it? It has a Canberra Comedy Festival, which slaps. It's so fun.
Mm-hmm. Is it really good?
Yeah.
You want Adelaide, really, for Fringe Festival, don't you?
Oh, yeah, because they've got the claw. When I was at Adelaide Fringe Festival, after every show, I would run down to the Garden of Unearthly Delights and jump on that claw ride.
What?
Because they got rides at Adelaide. That's why I want to go to that one. And
but they've also got Adelaide.
Yeah.
Yeah, that
culture.
Weighs it down.
Big Burn Adelaide. I actually like Adelaide. So.
Do you?
Yeah, I like Adelaide. What?
My grandfather calls it Undelaide. just a little context.
Bumba!
Yeah, Bumba!
Bumba!
Yeah, that's him.
If the claw was in Melbourne, would it be equally as good?
It would be so close.
Oh, shit.
But
oh.
Not quite there. I love rides.
Yeah.
But Melbourne, well, I last year called Melbourne Fringe because I was like, I don't think this is a good fit for me. And they were like, what's going on? And I cried because I went to look at the place that I was going to do it and I was opening in like 2 days and the venue wasn't done. Like there were still wires and everything everywhere. And the old man who owned the venue, while you were doing your show, would play a baby grand piano and play Piano Man and sing really loudly.
While you're doing your show?
I think he stopped during the shows, but like as soon as you were finished, he was like, jump on that keyboard, play Piano Man.
Wow. It we did ours at a pretty garbage place as well. Us.
There wasn't like Piano Man.
No, but there was like a flutist in the flautist.
And that's true. Yeah. Yeah.
You had to sneak past their show to go do them poo. I remember that.
They were what show is this?
It was the one we did for our uni course that went into.
Also, we made money on it and never got paid.
That's true. Because we weren't handling the finances.
Oh, no.
Did you go through with that show?
Yeah, I did. I had a fun time.
How much do you fucking love Piano Man now?
I'm truly indifferent to Piano Man. What do you think of Fringe?
It was just... It's
garbage.
It's just a hot mess. I don't know... Are you meant to sell more tickets during Fringe or less?
No. So here's the thing. During Fringe, you are meant to make no money and you are meant to expect to have no audience members whatsoever.
So... Then why not just put your own thing on?
Exactly. People are realizing that you can do this. But I think the reason you do Fringe is for the chance of getting an award. You are going to lose money.
Yeah.
No one's going to see your show, but you might get an award that you can whack on your poster.
If you're good, go and do Fringe. If not,
just do. I think just do your own show.
Yeah.
Isn't it also cheap? Like the venue hires are a bit cheaper during Fringe?
No. We only got our... We had to... Remember, you and I had to go and fucking find 1,000 different venues that would cater to the cost because uni was covering it. And it was like, it can't be over this much money. And we're like, that doesn't exist. They're like, oh, we've got this hall next to a main road you can use.
Yeah.
We're like, hell, oh, great. Yeah. Let's go there.
It was just when me and Ben were doing Deus, the one that we went to were offering, like, it was like a third of the cost.
That's a good, because we that's
did,
a good place.
When we did Last Brunch there, it was the same theater. And they were like, it's a third of the cost if you do a Fringe. Can you bring something for Fringe? Because I think they were trying to get Fringe people out there. So maybe now they've put it at the regular price, but they were trying their best.
Just had an idea.
We had like 5 people in the audience every single night for a play. We had to switch real quick. Like the last play would finish, then we had 5 minutes to change the set. That sort of shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For a play as well.
As a nightmare.
Fucking hell.
And there was that, and because it's Fringe and it's artsy and cool. We were waiting to set up for our show the first time we did it, and we could hear them doing their show. And then the door that the audience comes through opens up, and we're like, oh, the audience is going to come out. And this totally naked girl is what, like, she was exiting really slowly like this, like with her arms out, walking out. And we just caught the end of that as she walked out. And so we're like, here comes the audience. Oh, we should not. Trying to be cool, trying to, yep. Hey.
She was totally in character as well, just like, you know.
Was
like
she doing a Butoh walk?
It was like a ritualistic, she was in a trance walking, but she was well out of the theatre and it was just us waiting before we went into.
I guess if she drops out of character, she's just a naked girl walking past 2 guys. Maybe she thought.
She hadn't gotten to us. Also, we didn't know there was a naked person about to walk out.
Yeah.
You know, if we knew that was happening, we'd be like, theater, cool, very well done.
But
we
just like, explain the second and third and fourth and fifth nights, Matt.
Because I'm awkward around naked people.
You had a naked person. Naked person wrapped around your back.
Yeah, but that was on me and I was part of the show.
What?
I wasn't a...
What happened?
Was that also Fringe? Theater. Was that also Fringe?
Yeah.
It's very fringy to say I did a show on a rooftop in a pool where a naked person was on my back.
It's actually a spa. They just didn't turn on.
Yeah. We had to go.
Wasn't a pool.
There were all these health and safety rules where after we got out of the pool, we had to go and stand in front of a heater and dry ourselves off so we didn't get...
Health and safety. Ill. I mean, it was at the top of a costume shop.
Yeah. It was health and safety rules that were made on the day when we were like, fucking, I'm going to die.
Yeah, so guys, today isn't as hot as we thought. And it's quite windy on this rooftop. So Matt, go and do your scene for 10 minutes in the pool and try not to get hypothermia.
I fucking love Fringe. I love Fringe. Yeah, I love terrible. Fucked theatre.
It's terrible.
What's the most fucked theatre you've done at Fringe?
Let me see.
I know you were a naked bouncer at one point.
Yeah, I was a naked bouncer. That wasn't Fringe though. That was just a regular naked
Thursday
show.
Night. It's just a regular Thursday night that for Frankie McNair.
Yeah, I'm fine with my body. I did a. What was it? It was Hamlet, but it was a rock opera, but it was Hamlet, and it had been rewritten to come from the point of view of Ophelia.
Okay.
Oh.
And
because classic Shakespeare always just got it slightly wrong.
Yeah.
That's what they say.
He could punch it up.
I always thought that was... I was like, where are the tunes? Here's some tunes.
You just need some songs.
Famously, too little guitar in Shakespeare.
Yeah.
How does that go down?
Well, it was at Sydney Fringe, and it was this one year where I don't think it was in a building that was in like the factory district of town, and we like bumped in all of our stuff.
So a lot of foot traffic?
None.
No shit.
None.
All the factory workers clocking off, going, you know what I need? Some fucking Hamlet.
Need some right. Hamlet.
I need you all out of here by 5 a.m. We're gonna stir up the door press again. Get all your crap out of here.
And there was no electricity, so we couldn't plug in anything, and it was just
acoustic.
It was just chaotic.
Oh my god!
How many naked people were in the show?
There were no naked people. I know I've done stuff with naked people.
Doesn't count.
It's not art.
Glad.
Yeah, clang. Yeah, no naked people. I'm so sorry.
What about the naked bouncers?
The Naked Bouncers, that was...
Man, you can just look up naked people. You don't have to force Frankie to talk about it.
I'm trying to get notes.
Say it slower.
I need notes on the female form. I don't know anything.
It's okay. You don't have to know. We're doing fine.
Okay.
But no, that was just a night. There used to be this place in Canberra where they do like a naked night, and it would just be like people naked, but like playing the piano or saying poetry. And it was like art with a capital A. And then again, Mim and I, they were like, do you want to do something? And we were like, yep, a gig's a gig. Mm-hmm. And so we...
It's going to be the name of the podcast. Gig's a gig. Frankie McNair.
And then we dressed up as MILF Camp again, and we
sort of dressed down as MILF Camp.
Well, no, we still had our bum bags, and we just like turned them around for like a bit of privacy. And then we would like carry these teeny tiny towels that couldn't fit our butts on them because we didn't want to sit on the couches because they were kind of gross.
Yeah.
And then no one knew that we were part of the show. So we were just other naked people who just spoke in kind of high-pitched voices and were still wearing a lot of makeup.
Oh, Jesus
Because
Christ.
They didn't tell anyone we were in the show. And then the guy emceeing was like, what are you two doing? And we were like, we're the Bouncers. And he was like, what? What are you? And we're like, we're in the show.
But we're still like, you're in character. Oh, the costume's off, so you don't have to be in character.
We had the bum bags on. We're in character.
That's true. The bum bag. The bum. Were you not listening?
Sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry.
Listen.
I got so many thoughts going through my mind.
Please, for the love of God, so that my body can recover, can you tell me one good gig that you had?
Yeah. Are you even successful?
No, but I have a lot of fun.
Oh, jeez Louise.
No, do you want a genuine good gig?
Yep,
please.
Just one.
Just one. Yeah, I got to perform at the Canberra Comedy Festival Gala, which is like 2,000 people.
Whoa.
And, with like Ann Edmonds and Nick Cody.
And people laughed.
Randy. People laughed.
And your ex wasn't in the audience.
My ex, I hope he was because I crushed.
That's right. Huge.
It was great.
All right.
Wow.
It was great. I promise. I'm happy. I'm okay.
Thank God. Because there's just so much misplaced uncomfortability over
Oh,
here.
Yeah. It's an awful podcast that I have. Don't listen to it. It's okay. Just that the whole time.
Listen to it.
It's just everyone going, no. Keep
I think it'd going. Be fine to listen to. I just don't want to be in the room with you saying it.
Yeah, yeah, as you can see, like my too, eyes. Like,
yeah.
You can see.
I mean, you're saying like, it with a smile, but it's sort of like a dead smile and your eyes are welling up as you
yeah,
talk about.
Yeah. That's comedy, baby.
At a distance. But like you were saying, when it's in a room with like five people, it's not funny yet. It's too close. I need to be like two rows back.
Yeah. It's all right. It's okay. Yeah. You just listen to it.
Yeah. Listening to this later would be funny.
And if you I are hope. Listening to this later, that's a bad segue.
Manscaped.
Give us a segue into Manscaped.
Hey, if you're Frankie, segue, please help.
Do you have hair?
Excellent. Fellas, how's your beach bod treating you?
Frankie?
Yucko.
Well, Manscaped is here to ensure your post-quarantine body is ready for the wild.
I shouldn't have said yuck.
Don't be the guy at the beach with the bear rug on your chest. And if you grew some quarantine man tits, I hate that line, the least you can do is make sure they're hairless.
Oh.
I know.
I don't know if I'm allowed to say it.
You say whatever you want.
You want to finish?
No, I've got so much more.
Oh.
Manscaped is dedicated to helping you level up your full body grooming game.
Big time.
They have forever changed the grooming game with their Perfect Package 3.0. The Perfect Package 3.0 kit comes with the Essential Lawnmower 3.0, which is a waterproof, cordless body trimmer and a ton of other liquid formulations to round out your grooming routine. This is the best trimmer on the market. And for those of you in need of a chest shave, that's the best trimmer on the market. What a stupid thing to say. So sorry. Their third generation trimmer features a cutting-edge ceramic blade to reduce grooming accidents thanks to the advanced skin-safe technology pioneered by Manscaped. You can adjust the settings to get the right length. You can even trim an arrow pointing to the promised land if you're bold enough. Be sure to use their Crop Cleanser Body Wash to keep your hair and skin feeling fresh and healthy. Inside the Perfect Package, you'll also find the Manscaped Crop Preserver, which is a ball deodorant, which is anti-chafing, which is dope. And you'll find the Crop Reviver, which is a ball toner, which is a testy toner that's designed to give you a pep in your step. Subscribe to the Perfect Package and get a new blade refill for your Lawnmower 3.0 trimmer delivered to your door every 3 months. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code GDADDY, that's G-D-A-D-D-Y, at manscaped.com. That's 20% off and free shipping with the code GDADDY at G-D-A-D-D-Y.
Don't look at me when you say it.
Thank you, Manscaped.
Thank you, Manscaped.
And also, just be happy with your body. You're beautiful.
Exactly. Just shave your boobs.
You want to shave it? You want
to
try it?
You don't have to. But thank you, Manscaped, for sponsoring. But you leave them if you want.
That's right. I've got hairy guys.
Is that hairy nips?
Oh, yeah. I literally shaved my nipples yesterday.
Why?
With the Manscaped razor. Because we were in the bathroom. I thought it'd be funny.
Oh.
Me and Bruce and Beck, and I did it, and I was like, yeah. It's a great razor, but I haven't been using it as much as I used to.
Oh, you got a bush?
Well, yeah. Yeah, good times, good fun. How sick are you of men, Frankie, right now? Welcome to the Manscaped podcast with the men.
Yeah, Matt's got a different energy today.
Yeah, I'm trying to be cool.
Hey, he started off school bully.
Yeah.
And then
school's out
elsewhere.
Oh, summer.
I was trying to create like a war of this side to that side and buddy really? Up to Frankie and then start. I wanted to have arguments.
Oh,
for him,
okay.
Nothing,
we can
start an argument.
Let's do one.
Yeah, do you want to start?
Yeah,
an
let's
argument?
Do one.
Okay.
All right.
Good start, everyone.
Charge.
I think you're lovely.
Yeah, it's been a very lovely podcast.
I tried to trick Frankie the first time I met her.
Go on.
What did you do?
Well, we were doing the show, and before we had even met, that Blake made a an inbox for everyone.
Yeah.
And every time he would message, I would reply with as stale, straightforward, all brand messages as I could, so that Frankie would sit there and shoot. And this was weeks. And stew and think, oh my God, I'm doing a show with a fucking crazy person. Because he'd be like, how does rehearsals, has everyone got the script? And I'd be like, yes, I received the script, full stop. And like, how is everyone going? Yes, I'm going good. Please don't ask. Don't message for menial things. Full stop. I was like, really
like all business.
Refer to the last email. I don't need to be responding again. And Blake knew I told him, and it was only Frankie that didn't know the thing. And I thought, she's going to be so terrified. And I thought, if when we meet, she's going to say, oh, phew, what a fantastic person. And she didn't.
No.
She didn't even pick up on the fact I was a freak.
At what point did it become too easy to be that character?
It's always too easy to be that character.
It's far too easy.
It's harder to be fun. It is. Especially at work, I become like, oh yeah.
Do you like the pantos, Frankie? We spoke about the pantos when we did an episode.
I like the pantos.
You do? Yeah.
Try doing six of them and then tell me you like them.
Oh my God. Like you're so, who hurt you, pantos?
pantos.
Children. I got punched the last fucking panto I did.
Didn't you get punched in the boob? In a panto?
It wasn't a panto. It's just when I looked after kids and one of them, he punched me in the
right in the tip.
You'd be doing the happy birthday bit, which is the worst bit. Because like you're still in costume, it's halfway through the show, you're half in character and you're half not in character. Mm. And then some kid's like, it's my birthday, and then just socks you right in the fucking pubes. Because they can't reach your thing, and thank God they didn't get me in the nuts. And then you've just got to go, hey. What you want to do is like,
and just...
How tall's that kid?
Tall. Mm. You want to be like, oi, whose fucking child's that? But you can't. So I go, no, punching Prince Charming. And then I'll be like, backstage, fucking, you know what I mean?
You have a really good, you got bit.
Yeah, I got bit right on the penis. During Aladdin.
Was this when you were Salt and Pepper?
Yeah, because you walk out and you gotta
keep... That's what these characters, they were Salt and Pepper.
Salt and Pepper. You got to keep your hands up in the air as you walk past them because they're tiny. And this kid came up and gave me a hug. At waist height. Yeah, and you're allowed to, if a kid approaches you and gives you a hug, you can hug them back. There's all these rules.
You've checked the laws, have you?
Yeah. No, it's all in this contract. You have to make sure you don't do the wrong thing.
Right.
No,
kind of. Just because of the contract and getting paid, not because of like, you know, the law. Sex offenders register.
I'm just being careful. I want to know what I'm supposed to.
I agree.
I didn't want the kid to come and be like, ah, hands up, I'm not doing anything. So they gave me a hug at waist height and I went, oh yeah, very nice. And then they leant back and they bit me right on the penis. Ferocious.
Oh my God.
Hey. We're getting to the
What does the contract say about that? Do you have to bite them back?
Yeah.
You have to.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
That's terrifying.
I've never spoken to this side of the microphone.
We're getting off the rails.
Oh, no, no.
We're approaching the end of the podcast. Yeah. And because my name's on the podcast, I'm going to finish up with a story. But Frankie.
Hello.
You have the floor. Do you want to plug anything? What's going on?
Oh God. What's going on?
What am I doing?
I have a podcast.
I've got it written down.
I have a podcast. It's called Worst Gigs. It's all the horrendous gigs that you've heard, plus so many more. And I have different people on every week. It's very, very fun. I say every week. I put it out like maybe like every like 2 weeks, 3 weeks, whenever I want.
Happens when it happens.
Yeah.
You wait for
like
great
a house
content.
Cat.
Like a house cat. I'm like, I feel like doing a podcast.
Yeah, I won't.
And what else? I do stand up. You can find me on Frankie McNair _ on Instagram. That's it. And I'm doing the MS Deb at Melbourne Comedy Festival, which is like an alternative comic lineup. It's like a live soap opera fucked an alternative comedy lineup. Yeah. It's really fun.
8th through the 19th. Where is it?
I think it's the 8th through to the 19th. I don't know. It's on my page.
There's something like that. You'll find it there. Go to Frankie McNair on Instagram. I'll link all this stuff. Click down below. Do this stuff. Support Frankie because she came and did the podcast.
Good plugs. They leave a little bit of the imagination, just like, oh, well, what is it?
What is it? I don't know. Maybe you have to check out my socials and find out. But you don't have to if you don't want to. You do what you want to
do. If you're in Melbourne and you're not going, what the fuck's wrong with you? You've been in lockdown. Go see a show.
Yeah, I agree.
So you're saying that you're definitely going to go once you get your wisdom teeth out? You're going to show up that day, are you?
Well, I get my wisdom teeth taken out on Thursday.
It's only March.
I have exactly a month. Big bang, boom.
We'll see.
I'll be there.
The 9th.
So we get the top ones out.
You better be ready.
Hey, what? Yeah.
Yeah. For the show?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm so ready. I'm really excited.
So.
The story better be good.
I went to the gym.
What sort of ridiculous thing is that to say?
So.
I'm so sorry.
I've been going to the gym.
Yeah.
Again recently.
I can tell you're looking yoked.
Thank you. And I had a very strange experience with a gentleman at the gym. Ben, what are those things called? It's the square things.
With shake weights.
Those big metal structures that we would lift on if when we were back at Thingo. What are they called? You know more
like
gym
a,
stuff.
Like a rack.
Rack. Yeah. So at this gym, they're not up against the wall like they were at our old gym. Oh. They're in the center of the place.
Oh, that's weird.
So you can go on either side to do your weights or whatever you're doing. Yeah, nice. And I lift big. You know, I lift pretty big weights. It's not big. No big deal. Like legit, 10 kilos, bro.
Yeah, like 10, 20 kilos.
Huge.
Okay.
It's huge.
It's really big.
Thank you. And I was doing that one where you put it on your shoulder and you do squats.
Squats?
And then a guy. Yeah, but when you got the bar on you, it's got a different name, isn't it?
Squats.
Oh, squats. Yeah. Okay, so I was doing some squats.
Yeah.
And a guy came and set up with all the other equipment. Not like all the other. There's three racks and none of the other ones taken.
Oh, he set up behind.
He set up in front of me, opposite me, because we're both facing in.
Oh no!
I don't like that.
And he started doing squats as well. You're nodding. Is this a real? Is this a real meat person?
This guy sucks.
I hate him.
He was looking me straight in the eyes.
Fuck yeah!
While
kiss.
We were lifting,
power connection.
No, it wasn't. It was very, very aggressive. And
AC/DC,
like,
baby, get it.
AC/DC playing in the background. It was scary. And when he was doing his weights, he was doing more than me and looking me in the eyes. And I was like, "What is going on?" And then I left.
Did you start squatting at the same time?
No,
like,
I was squatting first. I didn't participate in this man's whatever was going on. I was squatting, and then he would start.
Were you at the end of your session?
No. I was like halfway through and I was like.
And you just left the gym.
Were there other racks that were empty?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Should have just moved.
Rack. And there were two next. I'm not going to move over.
He's trying to bro down with you.
That's what I was worried about. I didn't want to.
What are you worried about?
I don't want to bro down with a meat person.
Maybe trying to make a friend.
Mutual connection.
You don't
guys
maybe more than a friend.
You don't make friends by staring someone in the eye aggressively and lifting weights.
You took it aggressively.
How do you think Aiden and I met?
Just pumping weights.
Exactly.
Down at the Panto.
Yeah.
Poor kids.
I think that you should go back. To that gym.
You should go back at least I'm to finish
still going
the set.
To go back just to I was here earlier, but there was a guy looking me in the eyes. I'm just going to finish on my thing.
Yeah, just one sec. I know you said once a day, but I'm back.
Yeah. All right.
That's weird.
Great work, everyone. Phenomenal podcast.
Hey, Frankie, you're a comedian. Tell us a joke.
Isn't that
The Last Supper. It was just so weird. They should have called it The Last Entree. I'm never going to die.
Hey, it's Matty from GMAT, and don't forget that if you enjoyed this week's episode of the GMAT podcast and you want to hear more, we also have the podcast post show available exclusively to our Patreon supporters over at patreon.com/therealGMAT. The podcast post show is a shorter episode recorded directly after the regular podcast where we wrap up the show and discuss everything we didn't have time for. Don't forget to rate this podcast on your podcast app of choice and share it with all of your friends.